Shimon Bar Yochai, he writes in the Zohar in Zohar Ba'al Oischa, he says that on Pesach night, when Hashem comes down with the Pamalia, he says it's a revelation of Matonita. Matonisa, that's the Shechina Kedush, Hashem's divine presence. And he said people could come and they could have contact with the Shechina right there with. But the gates close on Motzei Pesach Sheni. This is 30 days of chesed for the Jewish people. What does it mean that the gates close? What's the nafkamina that the Shechina is in my life, the Shechina not my life? Who would be so silly as if the queen with her entourage, Shechina and the Pamalia, they walked in your front door into your living room and you're occupied with your Facebook, your text messaging, your this and that, and you don't take time to close the telephone, close this, close that, and greet the queen? How do you greet the queen? You speak to her. Hey, look at Shechina. Hey, you speak to her. What? Okay, try and make an appointment with Big Joe in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. First of all, Naftali Bennett thought he'd make an appointment. That he went into him and he fell asleep. Boom, his head hit the table. Okay. So let's suppose that Joe had a little more life to himself. All right. And someone comes in and they wait. You have to go through your state senator, your congressman, your U.S. senator, all the echelons and echelons and echelons and echelons. Okay. Mr. Joe, Sleepy Joe, he's powerless against the one-celled bacteria called E. coli. Escherichia coli gets in his intestine. He's not going to be able to talk to you because he'll be running back and forth to the Asher Yotzer room. So if he's powerless against a one-celled bacteria, what can he do for me? Masha ain't came, but it's not the situation when the Shechina Kedosha walks in the door. But the Shechina Kedosha not only walks in the door, why she called Knesset Yisrael the queen? Knesset Yisrael, Knesset means the gathering, kinos. The gathering, Knesset Yisrael, the gathering of all Yisrael, because all our neshamas come from her. She's, we sing, Eim Abonim Smecha. David Melech says, Eim Abonim Smecha. Who's Eim Abonim Smecha? Okay, the Pasha Pshat down in Asiya, that the Pasha, the Eim Abonim Smecha, talking about the Jewish mama, she's got good kids, they bring her nachas. Eim Abonim Smecha, that's the Shechina Kedosha. When you got 10 yidden together, her kids, learning together, working together, praying together, serving Hashem together, and talking about her glory. But there's one thing, not it glorious, but when we don't feel her, it's not so glorious. When we see people bad-mouthing another Jew, people, this one's better than this one's here, this one's there, this one, I think, no, my bro, you know that half, more than half the mitzvahs are adam l'chaveru? The practical mitzvahs that we do now. Okay, what? Chofetz Chaim was a kohen. Chofetz Chaim in Raden, in his koilel, they learned zvachim. He says, gotta learn, nobody was learning zvachim, he's gotta learn zvachim, because a kohen's gotta know how to work. He says, what's gonna be tomorrow, when behold, lo yom shiavo, we believe our 12th principle of Muna, that Mashiach will come any day, and Hashem's gonna build us Beit HaMikdash, and the kohen doesn't know what to do. Chofetz Chaim learns zvachim. That's it, says, and his kohen learns zvachim. Wait a second, Rebbe, what was your real inyan? What's your real zach? Rebbe didn't write a book about Zvachim. He wrote the Chofetz Chaim. And this is the Mishnah Berurah, the classical Mishnah Berurah, classic. And more classic than the Mishneh Berurah is the Chofetz Chaim. It's the Chofetz Chaim, because the Chofetz Chaim takes 31 mitzvahs b'chadamachta in one fell swoop. He takes his book, Lashon Hara. A person violates 31 derites of mitzvahs when he talks about his brother. Now, okay, we've got our younger generation here, older generation, parents. Parents, how gets on your nerves when your kids are fighting? And what nachas do you have when you don't say a word and you see your older child helping your younger child with the homework? You didn't ask them to do it. They're doing that out of their own voluntary will. What nachas? It's the same thing. That Matronita, that queen, the Shechina Kedosha, she walks in the door and she sees this. Forget about it. It's a blessing for everyone. The blessing of Achdus Yisrael, the blessing of being together, the blessing of unconditional love between brothers. The Torah says, Bari Matem Hashem Elokechem. It's a no-brainer. If you're Hashem's kid, that you're the Shechina's son, she's called Knesset Yisrael, and I am, no-brainer that we're brothers. The brothers, how are you going to treat your brother? But know one thing, before you take the liberty of letting my gaiva in the way, even though I haven't overcome my gaiva yet, so it's live and kicking, but just stop and think, time out on the field. Before I open my mouth with a derogatory word to my brother, how's Mama Shechina going to feel about that? How's Mama Rochel going to feel about that? How's the Maternita going to feel about that? But she's not the Beis Din Shemala. She doesn't punish. But what happens is the Yetzer Hara grabs that and he says, your kids are not so great. And he runs up to the Beis Din Shemala and he says, look what Moishe said about Yankee. Look what the Chassid said about the Litvak. Look what the right guy said about the left guy. Look what the Democrat, look what the Sephardi said about the Ashkenazi. Look what this, what that. Look, they're no good. Hashem, they deserve their own testimony. Here's their testimony, that's it. I didn't say it. Yetzer said, but I didn't say it. Oh, he's just the biggest tattletaler. Everything is, we said before, for sure, in Israel, we call it Tipex. They used to have type machines. And a secretary would make a mistake, you take this white paste, in America it's called whiteout, right?
Yeah.
There ain't no whiteout in Shemayim. It's all recorded. And it's so difficult to erase Lashon Hara. Tshuva wipes that slate clean, that's Pesach Sheni. Person does tshuva any moment, all year long is basically Pesach Sheni for somebody that does tshuva. But hold it. Let's and he spends time on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. Not even talking about the Beitul Torah. I'm going to go into the Beitul Torah. We're talking about, he makes a comment. Somebody says that Yosef Shmosef, they call him Joe Schmo in English, he's a Nebuch. And people put like, you know, they're that dude, like. You put like when somebody said Lashon Hara, you're a shutaf to Lashon Hara. Or suppose you're the one that said Joe Schmo is a Nebuch. Open up Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim says, my beloved son, when you decide to do tshuva, you got to go ask forgiveness for everyone you told that Lashon Hara. Is there and Facebook or Twitter, and you push that button, you push that push button, it's no longer under your control. People ask why they have difficulties in their lives. Maybe they said something or wrote something on social media. Maybe they were chanfanim. That's one of the Shechina, she leaves. It says, if somebody cut the chanfanim, out the door. That, what's that mean to be a chanfan? It's not flattery. They translate it flattery. Flattery is when you say, you know, you're trying to flatter somebody, look so good, when they don't really look so good. That is not an avera. It's not avera to tell your wife she looks beautiful when maybe she's not so beautiful. But if she's not so beautiful, okay, then maybe you should look in the mirror. She's not a size 4 like you were when you're crossing the collar. Maybe your six-pack abs have got a little bit soft. Okay. And this six-pack flabs, it's six-pack from drinking the beer. The six-pack is in your gut.
Became a okay. keg.
Yeah. Okay. Horrible. But no, that's not flattery. Flattery is when you tell an evil person what a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. At a place of work, a boss, and a boss demands that you do, they have this chief engineer, one of the chief engineers of Israel aircraft industry, had a tremendous mental breakdown, emotional breakdown. So one of my Talmidim works there. He says, listen, you got to talk to my rub. People know him. People advise him. No, I'm not going to talk to some rabbi. He says, they don't serve in the army. He says, my rub did. Okay, what else do you have? Again. He says, well, what was he, some chaplain? He said, no, not really. He says, what were you in the army? And what was your age? He told him, you weren't in my rub's yet. Okay, so convince the guy to come to me. The guy comes to me. Why is he so nervous? His boss, which is the head director, they have what's called cross evaluation. It's dog eat dog. That you have to evaluate your superiors. Your superiors evaluate the subordinates. The subordinates evaluate the superiors. And the directorate, has all the time that these engineers should be competing. Anyone that's their theory is that the competition, the more stronger, the more they'll produce. All right, the guys are getting burnt out. And I said, you know something? If you open up the Chofetz Chaim, you got to quit. You're not allowed for Parnassa to break a law of Torah and break 31 laws of Torah. This is to say Lashon Hara about your superior, your subordinate, your fellow worker. This is cross evaluations. They have that in a lot of Israel secular companies. It's so ugly. It's so, okay, let the boss, let him evaluate himself. Your boss, what do you got to do? If we see something, a fellow worker, and the boss says, who did that? Not allowed to say, even if you know, you're not allowed to say, Lashon Hara. Call the off correctly if I'm wrong. And you're not allowed to say it. Not allowed to say it. The Chofetz Chaim says in the Hakdoma that before a person transgresses one Isur Deraisa, it's better to give the shirt on your back, everything you have, your home, your bank account, your car, everything you have, and not transgress one Lav Deraisa. Lashon Hara can be up to 17 Lav in one fell swoop. It's gefährlich. It's really gefährlich. But we ask ourselves, hey, what is going on here? What is going on here? Why don't we have Beis HaMikdash? Why are things, when I was a little kid, the nasty big C, there was no such thing as high lifeline. Who needed a high lifeline? People had that machla when they were 75 and 80 years old. Never heard of kids that had that machla. Now there's high lifeline because there's all types of kids that have shaven heads, not shaven heads, as the chemo did. I had this in my own family, my own grandson. Gorgeous kid, learns in the Tzanzer Yeshiva, 19 years old. One day he comes home from Yeshiva and he calls his father and learns the Tzanzer in Netanya. And my son, my oldest son, he lives in Rechash Shoifat, Ramat Shlomo. And he says, Tati, my knees are hurting. I don't understand what's going on. And he called him the next day, my knees are hurting really bad. He says, come home, we'll check it out. Found out that he had a type of lymphoma, like it's a wildfire. Within 10 days, my ankle had stage 4 lymphoma. It was a day before he was supposed to start shiduchim. Okay, the world stops. That could be no shiduchim. You're not doing shiduchim when you're fighting for your life and getting chemo and this and that. Well, Baruch Hashem, I had a lot of people praying for him, this and that. Today, 2.5 years later, 21 and a half, he's got his hair back, he's got his health back. The oncologist gave him a clean bill of health. Bullshit. But it's a Nisim. And that's a lot of people doing, he's believing this and mentioning him, people talking to the Queen. Mentioned it. By the way, tomorrow we're doing our annual Hizbodus lab. Lovely. Strongly recommend we finish out. Invite everybody. It's a game changer. It's a game changer. And this, according to Rabbi Shimon, is the last day when the gates are open, wide open, Shechina. He says, so after Pesach Sheni, tomorrow's Pesach Sheni. Okay, tonight. Okay, so tomorrow at sundown starts Shabbos. But it's a Pesach Sheni, it's a different. Then Shabbos Amalka, we get to Shechina one more day, Shabbos Amalka, but it's a different Bechina. This is the wide open where a person can bring the divine light of the Shechina into life. Do that by talking. So what we do a tikkun on all our chatter and our Lashon Hara, and we go into Lashon Tov. There's no greater Lashon Tov talking to Hashem. Which means, now listen to this. Listen to this. Simple mathematics. And I asked my Rebbeim if this is true. This is a laser chidush. And they said, it's not a true, it's an understatement. All right. Chafetz Chaim says, for one lav, a person lose all his assets. Take an average guy in Eruv with his house and his car. And say, what's the average guy worth? I think everybody in the Eruv, when you add up everything to assets, is $1 million. Okay. And if you're not worth $1 million, then after tonight, you're going to be worth $1 million, because I doubt if you should be worth $1 million. And nobody in the Eruv should have less than $1 million. You should have even more than that in Nachas. Okay, but the Chofetz Chaim says that it's better to give up that $1 million worth of assets than to say one word of Lashon Hara. Why? You know what Rashi says? When I read Rashi's commentary of Ten Commandments, the Eibishter writes in the Halakha Torah that if somebody transgresses his will, they're going to be punished for 4 generations. But then he writes, if somebody fulfills his will, they're going to be rewarded for 2,000 generations. Rashi makes a poshut cheshbon. Mida toiva meruba mida seponut chamesh mopam. The 2,000 of a good measure is 500 times more than a bad measure. Okay? So if someone in Shemayim would lose $1 million for one word of Lashon Hara, then one word of Lashon Tov is worth 500 million dollars. Simple cheshbon. The Chofetz Chaim writes that Lashon Hara on Shabbos is 7 times more severe than during the week. But Shabbos should be uplifted. Shabbos should be learning. Shabbos should be praying. Hold it. That becomes the new cheshbon. So somebody does eat boldut, he talks to Hashem, which is the epitome of Lashon Tov, on the moment of speaking to Hashem on Shabbos is worth, it's as if, okay, if somebody spoke 10 minutes of Lashon Hara in a conversation on Shabbos, that's like 7 times worth 70 minutes of Lashon Hara. Woo! Comes along and he says 10 minutes of talking to Hashem, 70 times 500, it's as if he talked to Hashem for 35,000 minutes. Divide by 60, how many minutes is that? True cheshbon. I remember I once told that to Rav Shalom. Rav Shalom said it's an understatement. He said straight mathematics, but it goes geometrically more than that.
Compounded.
Yeah. Well, that's what we told him. This we don't have an idea of the power of speaking to Hashem. Why is the power of speaking to Hashem so strong? A lot of guys are frum. You know, people like frumkeit. Say the word frum and smile. Let's see if you can do it. Come on, guys, try it. Frum. No, he's smiling, so he can't say frum. Okay, say frum and smile. Nobody can do it. Frum. Now say amuna and smile. Amuna. Yeah, that puts right away puts a smile on your face. When someone speaks to Hashem, there is no greater direct declaration that I believe in you, Hashem. I'm not a basket case. Go talk to the wall. Go talk to the light switch. Go talk to a tree. Talk to Hashem. Hashem is right there with me. Right there with me. And in Muna, nothing invokes such divine compassion as a Muna. And nothing is such an expression of a Muna as person's own speech between he and Hashem. And that's a power, that's a power of Pesach Sheni, that's a power of Muna, that's a power of speech. And what does Rabbi Kiva says? Ve'idach Pirusha. Okay, the rest of the poet. Hashem should bless Dehema Shekila. Oh, I love you guys. Wow. You know, it's Tzaddik says, Ahuv Lemala V'Nechmad Lemata. When you love somebody down there and you enjoy being with them, then you know that upstairs they love them. And it doesn't help if you try to flatter that people love you. That like button, that's not liking. Somebody gave me a like button. No. It means really when they feel good. And this kahila, it's a matona. I'm going to say something special, especially, and not to say miksat shifchoi, a portion of a person's praise. I came in this morning for Shacharis, and outside of Alan, the Rosh Hashiva and the Bacharim, I was the first one here. And I'm listening to the way they're learning. And they're really learning Erlich. Okay, afterwards, by the time I did Rabbeinu Tam and did my thing after davening, boys are right back learning again. And learning sweet as sugar. Well, not only is this place a place of tefillah, it's a place of limud. And I want to bless the kehila with success and bless my brother Rabbi Winkler that you should have such tremendous success in quality and quantity, that this should be a lighthouse of Torah for the community. And the Bruch and the Bacharim, you guys are sweet as sugar. You play basketball? Shtickle, okay. My bracha's got you guys in a full court press.
Amen.
Okay, this is should be much success, and maybe this is the best birthday party I ever had. At here with Hamish, and thanks for having us. It's a delight to be here. People ask me how Houston is, and I got my brother, Rob Nagel. I say Houston for me is a home game, because like it's Hamish, being name, being at home. And thanks, guys, and hope we all have a wonderful Shabbos together.
Amen.
Nigun.
That's the last
rock. What's that?
What songs? The boys.